All right, everybody out there, the Sprocket Podcast. I'm Dan Kaufman.
Zed Bailey.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do Open Bike April 17th. We want to see you down there, 7 o'clock social, 8 o'clock. We roll out the open microphone for y'all. It doesn't have to be about bikes. And then at 9 o'clock, it's music. So come on down to Velo Colt for Open Bike, Open Mic Night.
Come on and crank our chain.
Holy shit, we are professionals. Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. We're broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the very best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication and the internet. And today, stuff.
Stuff and things. Things and stuff. Things. Yeah. We'll talk about,
I couldn't come up with anything clever and punchy at the time.
The walrus and the carpenter. The time has come to talk of many things. What is it? Shoe, wax, and ceiling strings? I don't know. Yeah. So, hey, we're in the room with Aileen Grotti. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Always good to be here.
The quality of our show has gone way downhill once we actually push record.
We were way more relaxed before
Seriously.
We hit that button.
The pressure's on. So Aileen is here to talk with us about Film by Bike, which is back this year as it is every year, which we're excited about. And we got some news, some headlines. We got some mail and some other stuff. We did some interesting things. Aaron, you and I were talking before we got started. I took a bike ride yesterday, and my lady and I went down to St. John's near Cathedral Park.
You went to No Man's Land.
We went to No Man's Land. So, Aileen, are you aware, I'm sure you are, of the corridor that will someday be the North Portland Greenway Trail?
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that right now is just it's a dirt path that goes kind of through basically a wasteland. It's not a wasteland. Maybe it is. It's a super fun site. Lots of it is. But there's just a lot of open green space down off the bluff right next to the Willamette River. And I feel like I could spend all day there.
So can you ride what's there now? You can ride the dirt path?
It depends on what your bike is like. Mine has 32 centimeter tires. So I think I'm like right on the edge of maybe being able to do it and not being able to do it. Mm-hmm. It also depends on how much you want to abuse your bicycle, because it has... when I was there yesterday, there were some deep puddles and some mud and some grit. It sounded like my brakes were protesting terribly after we got out. It's it's like one step beyond Portland grit that just gets stuck on your rims, mm-hmm. and then you have to replace them because they're all pitted out. Mm-hmm. So I'm about halfway there now. Probably very close to getting at least a new front wheel soon. We shall see. But it's great. And there's a pirate cove down there. This is the cool thing, because I think it was... Last time I took a train trip on Amtrak, we noticed right next to the bridge that crosses the Willamette River, there is this little cove where a bunch of ships are apparently permanently anchored. Like, this is just where they hang out. I feel like I've seen at least one of them up in the Columbia, like off of Marine Drive. And basically, I think it's like someone who's looking for really cheap rent. They drop anchor, hang out in this little cove, and it's a great place to hang out. St. John's is nearby. There's groceries and that sort of thing. You can kind of crawl up the canyon, weave your way through University of Portland, I think. And it was fascinating, because it's one of those things that you don't expect people to be living down there, hanging out or whatnot. But it's really cool.
I noticed that one time off of Swan Island on the Willamette. There were just a couple boats out there, and it was nighttime, and a little boat came up to it, and somebody hopped off. Maybe they had gone out on the town, and they were just going back home to their boat.
Totally. Yeah. And you can tell, I think, usually that they're there for the longer term, because they're covered like with tarps or something. Mm-hmm. There's one that actually has, it doesn't have a mast like a pirate ship, but it has a pirate flag, like the skull and crossbones, the Jolly Roger. And it has the long thing sticking out the front. I don't know boat terminology at all. It's like the nose of the boat or whatever. It has that long thing that you would tie maybe the mast to or something. It looks like an old school boat. Thank you. The hull. Yes.
Okay.
So that, I think, is why I call it a pirate's cove, because there's essentially a pirate ship that's been moored there for a while. Oh. So
cool.
Yeah.
Man, summertime adventures. That's where I want to go.
I feel like that's a good place for a midnight mystery ride. And in fact, maybe that's happened once or twice. I've only been on like three or less. but I think that'd be a great place to end up because you're basically out of the purview of everyone. Like, you go there and no one can see you and no one can hear you and no one cares. So,
which is an ideal place to land for midnight. Speaking of which, have you been on their site?
On which? The Midnight Mystery Rides
site?
Not for a while. They're Midnight, or is it MMR?
You know, I couldn't even tell you. Whatever they're, it's just a WordPress blog.
WordPress.
Yeah. But yeah, they've been having some good times. There's a lot more pictures on there than there's been in recent rides.
Is it becoming less mysterious?
I don't know so much about that.
I don't know, but there was an interesting project recently to catalog all the places that had been.
Right.
So I unearthed some hidden archives that I had disabled some parts of the old website. And
okay.
Just for, because I didn't have time to edit it and I didn't want people going there accidentally when I gave up the reins. And so I thought, well, now everybody knows where the real site is. I can pull up this old stuff. And it's, you know, from day one, every ride was cataloged for the most part.
Ooh,
so
that's
it's all the old photos. It's who led the ride, where it started, where it ended, how many people went on it, special thanks to, and then any special things that happened, like somebody brought brownies or, you know, somebody baked a cake. Because that used to happen a lot. That was a thing. People would bring treats and snacks. And
nice. And now people bring booze.
I mean, but we used to always stop at a place along the way for beer because the idea was, oh, you know, if you haven't gotten your stuff together and you can't get there in time, we'll stop for beer.
Stop at a Plaid pantry or something.
But then our numbers outside the Plaids were so big, we were drawing way too much attention to ourselves and we realized we couldn't do that anymore.
It's not a mystery anymore.
We weren't like flying under the radar anymore and it was causing too much trouble. So
was it causing trouble?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like police would follow the group or something?
Right. And, you know, the whole thing with Midnight Mystery Ride is you just try to kind of blend in. You don't make a lot of noise. You don't go somewhere where you're going to annoy the neighbors.
Right.
Because you don't want to have to go home. Mm-hmm. You want to find a spot where you can really settle in and have a good time for a good long while. And
you can be there until sunrise if you wanted to.
We used to typically be out there till 3, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. That was the thing in the early days. I don't know. I haven't got on one in a while, but I am going to lead one of these days again. It's been a long time since I've done that.
So. Aileen returns.
Where would you lead it to?
You know, I don't know.
That's a trick question.
Well, obviously.
I thought I could get it out of her.
But I do have some ideas of maybe revisiting old special locations that maybe the group hasn't been to in a while.
Well, so the reason why I mentioned this is there seems to be some sort of re-energization going on.
I think that's the technical term.
Sure. just a lot more. I don't know if it's maybe a new generation of MMR people, but not this last ride, but the ride before that, they did this whole tribute to the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and that was hosted, I believe, by Dan and Zed from Open
Mic. Okay, well then that would make BDXK sense.
TV.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe it was before we pressed record, Aileen, you were telling us about some things that were coming up. So maybe we should transition. We mentioned booze, so let's talk about, we're drinking Old Crow.
Drinking Old Crow,
it's
classic.
The good stuff, yeah. You brought us some chocolate, which is delightful.
Mm-hmm,
sea salt and almond, I believe.
Yeah, it's one of the best out there.
Yeah, and it's dark, right?
Mm-hmm, nice dark chocolate.
If you had to estimate, what's the percentage of cacao in this one?
Ooh, I saw that on the thing and I can't remember.
I think it's
about
70s.
72. Yeah.
Very good, very good. I don't know anything about chocolate. It tastes very good.
Does go for the high percentage. That's what I know.
Totally. And let's see here. We talked about booze. We talked about that. Aaron, you have sangria.
I have sangria señorial.
Yeah.
And it's not
sangria,
a twist top.
Sangria
so
in
actually,
a bottle.
Do you need an opener?
Yeah.
I got you covered.
It's actually soda. It's not actual sangria.
Right. Yeah, because Aaron famously does not drink or use substances of any kind.
Famously.
I'm impressed, man. It's been you've held out for a good long while. So that's as punk rock as anything else I can think of.
Yeah, sure. I got straight edge, you know.
Yeah. The sangria was one of the first atypical sodas that I ever had. I mean, I grew up like drinking, you know, the graveyard or whatever from the soda machine at school or buffet restaurants or whatever with my family. That was one of the first things that I got that was soda, but it was also kind of unusual.
Right. Yeah.
And I think I had it in Mexico.
This has got almost a vinegar like kind of taste to it.
It's been a while since I've had it. I don't remember the vinegar. Is it, really? Is that a pleasant vinegar sensation?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Nice. Well, Aileen, we brought you in to talk about Film by Bike. So that was the thing I was going to transition to, was the Dan and Zed are actually, we're going to be talking to them tonight. And anyone listening to this outside of this room will be hearing them next week. But we're doing a doubleheader recording tonight. So you were telling us about a confessional that they are setting up for Film by Bike. Is that a good place to start?
Sure. So at Film by Bike, we start off with an opening night street party where we open up the street in front of the theater for a big old street fest. And this year, we're taking a new path. We are starting on a Saturday, which we've never done before. We've always been on a Friday night. We're on a Saturday. We're starting earlier in the day, and it's all ages. So that really spurred us to start thinking about how we could fill that time and that space with some creative things happening, because we have more time to work with. We've got more daylight, which is a real treat for us. It's always been so dark at the party. So we just realized we could do a lot more. And we had had this idea for the last year, and we hadn't been able to implement it last year. With it being our 10th anniversary last year, we just ran out of time. But we always had this idea of doing a video booth where you could pop in and tell a story. I'm a huge fan of the StoryCorps project. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
It's from NPR.
From NPR. And these stories are being archived in the National Archives at the Library of Congress for all eternity. And we thought, wouldn't that be great if we could do something like that, where we could be cataloging people's bicycle stories?
Yeah.
So then coincidentally, Dan Kaufman from Crank My Chain came to me this year and said he had a very similar idea. And I thought, oh, that's so great, because we just haven't been able to make it happen on our own. We really needed a video partner, and that's Dan's expertise. So,
and Dan can make almost anything happen with video, it seems.
Yeah, he's super, super creative that way. And Kirsten, his wife, has been really involved in this project as well. So we'll be setting up the bike confessional, where you can tell your bicycle story. And it's a booth where people can go in by themselves, or if they feel they need a buddy and they'd really like to tell their story with or to somebody else, they can bring in a guest, but only one person in addition. So it's
which is very StoryCorps.
And it's meant to be this, you know, you don't really have an audience. It's just a nice intimate space. So I encourage people to start thinking of their stories now, because then they can go and tell them on camera. And if you need to be anonymous, you can wear glasses and a mustache. And then when it comes to the editing process, because these will all be edited down into little clips, we will disguise you. So if you need to be anonymous, and hey, we want to hear those stories where you need to be anonymous, like, those are going to be the good stories. There's going to be some crazy stuff that comes out. People have already started telling me some really wild stories. I won't repeat them. One woman is super pregnant, and she's not going to be able to make it to Film by Bike. So I'm so tempted to tell her story for her. But she's an amazing storyteller, and I think one of these days, once she's done getting through this process of having twins and she has time for it, she's going to tell the story one day, and it's going to be great. So I'm not going to steal her thunder. But anyway, we are then going to be putting these clips online through Crank My Chain. Film by Bike has a video time capsule that we created where people can give us 45-second stories on why they love bikes. And it's a channel we have running on Vimeo right now. It's called I Love Bikes. And we've been capturing the stories of people all around the world. So we are hoping to find some pieces from this bike confessional to be able to add to our time capsule that we've been running.
Aaron, did you just notate that? Can we? We'll share that later on. Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds really exciting.
It's really exciting. One of the things that Film by Bike is really devoted to is that, sure, it's great to go in the theater and watch these incredible bike movies from all around the world, but the festival is also about celebrating bikes. So the opportunity to have interactive activities at opening night and to be hanging out and partying and socializing with other bike lovers at this time of year where things are blossoming and we're getting ready for summer and we made it through another winter.
Yeah.
It's just a really nice celebratory time. And even if it's a little sprinkly out there, because it generally in the last 2 years has been raining on us, people are in a great mood. It's a good time in the street. And this year, more than ever, we just have a ton of activities planned, the bike confessional just being one of many. So it should be a really good time down on Clinton Street.
Yeah. So Film by Bike, just for anyone who hasn't heard, we had you on last year, I believe, to talk about this exact same event, but the 10th one. It was the 10th anniversary last year.
Yep.
This is the 11th, and I think I'm putting it up on our website with an exclamation point, because 11 is even better than 10.
You know, it's
1 year more.
It's funny you say that, but it really is. We worked so hard on our 10th anniversary, and at the very end of it, I have several people who are super involved in the festival with me, Megan Sinnott and Brad Nelson. We're like the three that run it. And Brad Nelson is a really great event colleague of mine. We do a lot of events together and he's really good at what he does. And he said to me, well, that was a fun 10 years. What's next? You know, the world is our oyster kind of a thing. You know, we could do whatever we want.
And anything at all.
Okay, starting on a Saturday is like the one of the really exciting things we came up with. Because we had done everything so similarly every year because we did this on top of busy day jobs. And hey, if it's working, keep going with it. But now we're just starting to really open up and explore some new ideas, a lot of which may not be really radical to the general public. But as far as behind the scenes and how we organize, it's just been going really smoothly. And now that we're 11, you know, we can do all sorts of new things. We don't need to be, we've made it, you know, we've made it through those early years. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. Film by Bike is here to stay. The theater is under new ownership as of last year, and the new owners are great. So that was a little dicey, you know, new owners, are they going to like us or not?
Right. So was last year the first year with the new owners, or was this year the first?
Last year was, and the new owners came in about 7 days before our 10th anniversary.
Oh, God.
They took ownership right then, and it was also, it all happened so quickly, and the old owner was super, super easygoing fella, and I thought, what are these new owners going to be like? And we don't have anything in writing.
Are they going to kick you out? Is it all going to be French film?
Are they going to think we're too rowdy or crazy? Mm. But it turns out they're wonderful people, Lonnie Joe and Roger Lee, and they are very community-minded. They're doing a ton of screenings that support nonprofit organizations, and they give back to the community, and they have really great liberal views and are showing some really radical pieces that aren't being shown elsewhere all throughout the year. Their programming has gotten so good over there.
Nice.
They've cleaned up the theater. They've got surround sound system.
Yeah.
And the Clinton Street Theater, I talk about it a lot, but it's a really integral part of Film by Bike because we have this zone where we can be in the street, can camp out in the theater for the whole festival, and they support what we're doing. And that's really important to us to have that kind of a relationship. But also, they are the longest running movie house west of the Mississippi.
West of the Mississippi.
They're almost 100 years old. They'll be celebrating their 100th anniversary next year.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty great.
That's pretty exciting to see a theater that's been able to be running for so long.
Yeah. And they're also, they have a distinction of being the longest running presentation, unbroken presentation every week of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Which I assume has continued.
Yes. Is that, and they're still there. The owners are very supportive of their Rocky Horror community.
Right.
So, yeah, it's super cool to see that. They just got new t-shirts made for Rocky Horror. And one of these days, I'm going to go. I haven't been to a Rocky Horror in forever.
I have never been, still. And I get, from everything I know about it, I understand that it's probably not my bag anyways. So I'm okay with that. But I feel like it's one of those things, like even if I'm, if there's no reason for me to go, I feel like I should, just for the cultural implications.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah. And just to see something like that, you know, it's there's so much history built up around that event that, yeah, it seems like it'd be interesting and maybe advisable.
Yeah, it's something it should be like everybody's bag at least once, I think.
I think so.
Whether or not you go back for a repeat viewing is probably, that's the more of the question.
Yes.
Yeah. So Film by Bike, you've been showing bicycle film movies. Do you want to talk a little bit about the education of the masses and the evolution of the event? Like how things have changed since maybe your inception, because it's easy to say, hey, we're going to get a bunch of people to put some film together. You sit down and say, hey, we'll show these. How has that changed since you started?
Well, it has changed a lot. When we got started, people weren't making bike movies. The reason we had the festival is because a local guy was making bike movies, and it was so radical. We thought, how cool is that? These movies are about bikes.
One was that?
That was Rev Phil.
Okay. The famous Rev Phil.
He's a very prolific filmmaker locally, and he now runs the Bike Porn Festival.
He's making sexy films.
He's making the sexy kind these days. Mm. So at the time, we had a couple Rev Phil films, and we found a couple other movies, most notably a 10-minute piece out of, I think, San Francisco, that was sort of cycle side, the circusy freak bike show. And they had made a little, just a documentary on it. And all this was on VHS tape.
Yeah.
So I sat at the VCR and like put in a tape.
Not Beta.
not beta, pulled out a tape, put in the next tape, you know, all that noise and all that. But we scheduled it to coincide with a Critical Mass ride because we figured if Critical Mass ends at our doorstep, we're guaranteed to at least get a few people who actually pay to come in.
Right, right.
And we wound up getting way more people than we anticipated. Hmm. And that's when we realized, okay, we're on to something. Let's keep this going. And now what's really different is that bike movies are everywhere now. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's making bike movies and they're all over the internet and people share them and watch them. And, you know, there's all these short bike movies, which is our specialty. And you can see those every day. Mm-hmm. So really what Film by Bike does is we bring together the best bike movies from all around the world. And we start in August and we wrap up that process in January.
Yeah.
And it takes us that entire time to scour the world for the best movies that have been happening, the most interesting, and then to curate that into a mix that is going to represent what's happening out there in the world and also bring some diversity in there. Mm-hmm. And then the challenge of, you know, okay, is a Call Me Maybe spoof that's bike related, is that going to be stale by the time we have our festival in April? Harlem Shake, is that going to be done up by then? Who knows?
So the Harlem Shake was over like 2 weeks after it started.
Yeah, I mean, those are the kinds of like those little memes and whatnot that crop up into these movies. We also have to take that into consideration because by the time we show it on the screen, we don't want things to be outdated. But we are showing some dated pieces this year that have some historical significance. So
interesting.
That's you know, that's kind of the fun of what we do, is finding stuff that we think can give people a real window into what's happening elsewhere. One of the pieces we're showing is on some of the earlier days of bike culture in Vancouver, BC. And I love this piece because Vancouver, BC and Portland are real sister cities when it comes to cycling. Mm-hmm. Back in the day when all this was really, really new, in the early 2000s, we had a great reciprocity and there's a lot of back and forth, people going to Vancouver, people coming to Portland for our festivities here. They hosted Bike Summer, which is now Pedalpalooza. They hosted it before Portland did. And it was actually the seeing of their printed calendar at a Critical Mass ride that spurred Portlanders to take on the festivities. Mm. And now that has all, in a nutshell, quick story here, led to Shift, which has led to Breakfast on the Bridges and all the bike culture stuff we have now. I mean,
so Portland, Oregon's bike culture is directly descended from Vancouver, BC.
Pretty much, in a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, that's really, a lot has come. And at the time, it was Russell and Jane, these two people in Vancouver that pretty much ran their bike summer. I mean, we could say it all comes from Russell and Jane.
You know, right.
It's just crazy to think about these connections, that I love that kind of thing.
Just for context, for anybody who doesn't know, Pedalpalooza, if you don't know, and I don't know why you wouldn't, because it's huge now.
And you're missing out.
Pedalpalooza is this enormous three-week bicycle fun festival with organized rides, parties, et cetera. That happens here in Portland, Oregon. It started as Bike Summer, and I believe you may have filled us in on that last time you were here. But
I may have, because that's so. When Film My Bike got started, we needed funding for a Bike Summer event that was happening, and that's kind of what spurred us to get started. Was, well, we needed money for permits, and how can we do an interesting fundraiser? Because we're always trying to mix things up. And so now here we are showing the best bike movies from around the world. What hasn't changed is that it's still a really big celebration and a party. And that's a really key component. There is a filmmaker who works the whole festival circuit. He goes to film festivals all around the country with his movies. He's really a great filmmaker locally here, Mike Vogel. And he once told us that Film by Bike really puts the festival in film festival. And he calls it his favorite film festival. And he's a guy that he goes to other festivals. So to us, it's such an honor. And he found us originally because he saw a flyer at a coffee shop with a call for movie entries. And, you know, he's been on our jury. He's a great supporter of what we do. And he sends in movies almost every year. So it's fun to have developed those kinds of relationships with some of the filmmakers over the years.
That's pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's great. And then on our we do have filmmaker Q&A sessions. So there's an opportunity on Sunday of the festival after the 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock shows to stick around the theater and get to know some of these filmmakers who are involved and hear their stories and find out more about, you know, how they go about making their pieces and why, and hear their stories. So that those are some really great, powerful nights in the theater. It often surprises me, the questions that come from the audience and the things the filmmakers have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's great anytime you can set that up. I like the it's something that doesn't really happen, I think, unless you make room for the opportunity. But for anyone who has something to say in an artistic medium, to get a chance to answer questions from someone who saw the artistic medium and like still wants more or still needs like a bit more explanation or just wants to say, hey, this was the best thing I've ever seen or something like that. I think that's great.
Yeah. And if you ever wonder, you know, is this bicycling thing we're doing just a fad? Well, one of our filmmakers is 12. And he's going to be on stage, and he loves to make movies, and he loves to ride his bike.
Yeah, 12
is... His movie's all about that. I mean, this kid is the next generation, you know? Like, I have hope. This isn't going to die out when I die out. We got Kobe Rush. He's the next generation. I'm putting all my faith in him. So right. Kobe will be on stage talking about his piece. He just got a green screen for Christmas, so that allows you to kind of drop out the background and do some crazy technology in your movie making. So he got a green screen for Christmas and finalized his piece just in time for our deadline, and it's great.
That opens the door to sci-fi.
So cool. Yeah.
Oh man, sci-fi bike movies? That's great. I like where that's headed.
I have not yet. I believe at this point Ellie Blue was curating the Bikes in Space zine that she was working on. And
sure.
I think it's available now. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm curious. I honestly don't have a good concept of how that happened, so I feel like I need to get that. It's my civic responsibility to investigate this and be better informed.
Well, I'm always throwing around in my head the idea of a post-apocalyptic bicycle film slash story slash
It's sort of like, well, they had the disaster relief trials.
I think that's what inspired that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're showing a piece about that. Just a really short glimpse into what that event was like last year, which is great to see. Joe Beal put it together, and I was glad to see it because it was so much work for the organizers who put on that event last year. So basically the concept was major crisis has hit the U.S. and how are you going to survive? So people rode all around town to checkpoints and carried big items. And, you know, there was so much work went into making that event happen. And it was such a cool event to be able to see a wide variety of types of carrying methods. So now we have this documentary, which really encapsulates what happened there. And I love
good.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there. It was a lot of fun being there, but it's good that there's now it's documented. You know, now other people can see it, and it's not just this sort of this happening that, oh, we did it and it was great, and now we got these commemorative cups.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, we have one here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Those are great. They're made of aluminum or aluminium, as some people say, but it's not.
I thought it was stainless.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Stainless steel.
Never mind. It's way better.
Yeah,
way better.
I got a little nervous for a second.
Yeah. I was thinking of something. Zombies. There was the Path Less Pedaled. Russ and Laura, they hosted a zombie ride that coincided with the disaster relief trials, which was a lot of fun. I was thinking about film and zombies and bikes because I don't think we talked about this before, but someone asked, I believe it was Frank Darabont, who was the original producer of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone had asked him, like, why don't you use bicycles in The
Walking
Dead?
Why does everybody use cars?
Because it seems like in this post-apocalyptic, in this end-of-the-world scenario.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of gasoline.
But there seems to be an unending supply of gasoline.
Yes.
Like, these people have survived for years
and
now. Yes. So I think the question was posed to him, like, why don't people ride bikes? And I think basically the idea was that people would look like sissies if they were riding on bikes, which is
a
stupid reason.
But nowadays?
No, right. You look like a badass.
It used to be if you rode a bike, you were a loser.
Mm-hmm.
And now it means you're smart, healthy, fit, whatever. I mean,
you're a superhero.
Public perception of cycling has changed so much, which is great.
Which means probably in maybe a couple years, we can actually realize this vision of you know what it looks like for bicycles to respond in a post-apocalyptic scenario.
Well, we showed a movie a few years ago, which there's a local group in town that rides unicycles, and they call themselves the Unicycle Bastards, and they put together a movie, The Unicycle Bastards.
We're taping now.
All
it's
right.
back.
Let's bottle this lightning.
Right. Where were we? We were talking about the Unicycle Bastards. We talked about a bunch of really interesting things. Technology sucks. It screwed us out of
that Gary Fisher did indeed invent the mountain bike.
Yep.
And
totally.
That is inarguable.
Right. Andy looks really good in a plaid suit. And I believe when we discovered that the tape was not rolling, we found out that you, Aileen, had been dancing with Gary Fisher.
And Gary Fisher.
It's a crowning achievement.
I would do it again. Having Gary Fisher at our 10th anniversary last year was really exciting. He's just a cool guy. He, as we've mentioned, he's a snazzy dresser. And you know, to have Film My Bike be able to attract someone of that magnitude was really great. We're the only festival in the country doing what we're doing. There is a touring festival that goes worldwide, the Bicycle Film Festival. It's an excellent project, and they show a wide variety of movies. We're the only one that really focuses on short movies. That's just where we've always gone with it. So most movies are going to be 8 minutes or less, which means a lot of fast-paced action, a lot of bouncing all around from documentary to scripted out love story to this, to that, to the other thing. And it really suits our audience, especially we put together a specific program for opening night that is suited to the opening night crowd because the opening night crowd is partying. And it's some of our raucous, faster, louder, crazier, goofier pieces. And we put that all together into a special program we call the Bike Party Program.
There we go.
And I think it's going to be a really good show this year. That is showing on opening night at the 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock shows this year.
Fantastic. We were talking, I think, about people contributing films from all over. It's very inclusive, and anyone from anywhere in the world can submit films to Film by Bike. So
right, we really are able to get a glimpse at sometimes at what's happening in bike cultures in other cities and in other countries, and I think that's really interesting. You know, we've shown pieces on critical mass rides in other countries. We've just seen all sorts of interesting things, bike riding in Africa and some trick riders in Gambia and, you know, things like that, that, you know, we think we're so great here in Portland and we totally live in a bubble.
We can get so myopic.
My God. We are so in a bubble here. And yeah, we're amazing, but so are many other places. So I love that Film by Bike can really bring that international outlook to the festival and inspire people that there's a whole world out there beyond Portland.
Right.
And also just, you know, as this time capsule concept, to get just this snapshot of what is happening around the world in bicycling right now. And we offer a little glimpse into that. And so this year we're showing 40 movies. I think somewhere around 40% of them are from the Portland region and the rest are from all over. And we have filmmakers coming from all over the country that will be here. We have filmmakers from Vancouver, BC, who put together a movie where they perform a dance and a song. And so they will be performing their dance and their song live.
Very nice.
At opening night. They will be teaching people one of their signature moves from their song and their dance so that the audience can then perform along with them when they're on stage.
So
and
fun.
Then maybe when they go inside to watch the movie and they see it happening, they just might stand up in their seat and perform this move all over again. We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be the new Gangnam Style.
Yeah, it's pretty great. That would be hilarious. So there's about six of them coming down at least from Vancouver, BC, and they're really a fun bunch of people. So that's
nice.
Great to see.
Yeah. Volunteers, do you still need help?
We do still need help. And on our website, there's a volunteer page which lists out what is still open and available. So you can take a cue from Brock, who signed up to volunteer.
That's right.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure if you actually got to see those or not.
I see everyone that comes
course,
through.
That makes sense.
I'm always like, oh, yeah, we have volunteers.
Yeah.
Yes.
You kiss up.
I signed up for the one that said you need to be good with people because I like people. So I think I've got Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday night, that's going to be a great one because you're there basically on our closing night, just helping at the ticketing booth.
Right.
So you'll get to see all the people coming in for the final shows. And that Tuesday is when we will be presenting the Golden Helmet Award presented by Radio Room. And that is the top prize of the festival. It's a $300 cash prize that goes to the very favorite film of the festival. And on our website, we've got a listing of who's in the running for that award, and nobody knows who's winning. I might be the only one who knows at this point.
You're the keeper of the light.
Yeah, it's pretty. Me and the guy at the trophy shop.
You have secret knowledge.
I think we are the only ones who know. So that'll be really exciting to see. But then also, you know, we also have the Go Independent Award presented by Bike Gallery, which honors the musician or the filmmaker who makes the best use of independent music.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to foster more partnerships between musicians and filmmakers.
It's a great idea.
And to honor independent music and not just taking copywritten music and using it in people's films.
Anybody can do that.
Right.
It takes talent to find the undiscovered talent.
And we've seen some amazing collaborations over the years as a result of it. We like to hope that this award helps encourage it. But a woman locally made a piece where she collaborated with some musicians down in the Bay Area, and they did a lot of emailing and phone calls and put together a really great piece where these guys wrote the song for her piece. And then one year we had a guy whose daughter was in Rock and Roll Camp for Girls. And so the girls had this band, and they wrote a song about riding bikes, and then the dad put some visuals to it, and that was awesome. They won one year. And we have, I won't say who's winning this year, but I really like his, I really like the story. I think it's cool. It's a cool story. So
nice.
We'll be presenting that award.
I almost heard a gender pronoun slipped in there.
Oh, yeah.
Gender neutral. That'll be Sunday at 5 o'clock. We'll be presenting that award. And then for anyone who feels like, man, I do not agree with who got those awards, you get to have your say with the Audience Choice Award. You can go to our website, filmbybike.org/vote, and vote for your favorite movie.
There we go.
The winning filmmaker will get $100 cash.
Nice.
And last year, we launched this award for the first time, and it was crazy because one day, one film's in the lead, and then 4 hours later, all of a sudden, some underdog film all of a sudden shot up into the lead. I'm watching the numbers like the stock market or something. It was crazy. It was all over the place. We had no idea who was going to win.
Yeah.
We could not tell at all. And we also allow filmmakers, you know, if they want to go out and campaign for their movie and kind of drum up some votes, that is totally okay. We're in favor of that. So maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But it's so interesting to see. And it's cool for the audience to get to have a, you know, a say on what they really liked.
Right. Right. A little bit of participation.
Mm-hmm. We're all about that.
Yeah. So Film by Bike 11. Exclamation point.
Yeah. We're excited.
Starts next weekend, right?
Starts next weekend. And one of our highlights is that Film by Bike benefits Northwest Documentary. They are a nonprofit organization that helps people tell their story through filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's run by a bunch of great people, including Ian McCluskey, who's a local documentarian who does some beautiful, beautiful work. And we started having them as our beneficiary last year, which really signifies a great growth for Film by Bike, that we've really moved beyond being only a bike event. But now we are forming more partnerships and connections in the film community as well. So Film by Bike's really become a nice arts event here in Portland that it's beyond just being about bikes. In fact, bikes, it just happens to be about bikes in some ways. But Northwest Documentary started a new class that is called Ride and Shoot, where they teach people how to make a bike-themed documentary and all the challenges that go along with the motion and being on a bike, and how do you follow somebody who's riding away from you and still get a good shot, or how do you use the bike as a tool to get some beautiful, smooth shots and without fancy equipment and do that on a low budget. So that's how we first came to know them, is through that class. And we've started supporting them, and they're our beneficiary. And then they took the money that we gave them as a donation last year and felt like they needed to do something with that money to give back to the bike community. So they did a documentary where they followed along on the World Naked Ride last summer and put together a 17-minute documentary that is so graciously done. It is a really beautiful view into that event through the stories of some very unlikely to get naked people. I mean, some people that you would not expect to be doing the World Naked Ride.
Nice.
So these people tell their stories, and the filmmakers followed along. And we did a special screening for the volunteers of the World Naked Ride and some of the people involved in the film. We did that at Northwest Documentary about a week ago, and everybody loved it. And it was
nice.
So great, because right before it started, Lila from Northwest Documentary turned to me and she said, she was wringing her hands. I think she was physically wringing her hands. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you think they'll like it?"
A little
and
nervous.
I was like, "Oh, they're going to love it." And they did. They loved it. So it's a 17-minute long piece. And you know, the World Naked Ride is a ride that happens globally.
Mm-hmm.
It is... they don't keep good numbers on it, but it is widely recognized that Portland is probably the largest of all the rides.
Yeah.
And it's a great event, and it's great to now, you know, this ride may not be here 10 years from now. Who knows? Who knows what the future of the ride's going to be? But now we have this 17-minute documentary, and the ride is really fun and upbeat and crazy, and people are totally naked. But the piece isn't about the party, nudie people. Hey, look at the naked people.
No.
It's actually just so beautifully shot and
right.
so beautifully done. And you know, you see the bystanders on the street just getting so excited to see this crazy spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come see it. That's all. I don't want to spoil anything more, but come see it at the festival. It's playing in our Bicycle Dreams program, which is going to be on Sunday at 7 and on Tuesday at 7. So you've got two chances to see it.
I'll be there for it.
And at that Sunday show, Ian McCluskey, the filmmaker, will be at the filmmaker Q&A to discuss the movie and how he got out there and shot it. And they have some funny stories to tell.
It'll be fascinating.
About that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does the film contain nudity?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How can it not?
Lots of nudity. But the tastefully done.
Right. Yeah.
So all of our shows are all ages this year. That's new.
Cool.
Regulations have changed at the theater, so that's what held us up in the past. But we're really excited about that.
Will there still be beer?
Yeah, still beer. The theater
But everyone can come.
Yeah, everyone can come. How things are going these days, which is great. And we'll be serving New Belgium beer all weekend long, all festival long at the theater. They are our beer sponsor.
Them.
And they've got the Shift beer in a can, which is just so great. And they will also be serving their beer at our beer garden in the street party on opening night.
Yeah, so, yeah. Shift beer is it's a great beer. It's kind of a I believe it's fairly new, and it's basically kind of their answer to PBR in a lot of ways. It's a lot tastier, I think, than PBR is. Mm-hmm. And I'm no hater, but it's just that they do it better, I think.
Yeah, their idea is like, you know, clock in, end of the day, clock out of work, shift is over, go home, relax, crack a beer.
It's a good session beer. Mm-hmm. And I will never, of course, I would never admit to drinking in public because that's illegal. But you can imagine how nice one of those would be on an organized group ride in Fort Collins if that had happened last summer.
Yeah.
So, anyways, filmbybike.org, is that correct?
That's correct. I recommend people buy tickets online. There are only a limited number of tickets for sale online. We call it rewarding slackers. There are always tickets for sale at the box office when it opens. So if you can't plan ahead, that's fine.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have to plan everything ahead, you know? Like, I'm so sick of always having to plan things ahead.
Right.
But as soon as that box office opens, some of those tickets will go fast. So all of our Saturday shows are going to sell out. The only way to really be sure you get into the screening of your choice is to go online and buy tickets in advance. But what I really recommend is a festival pass. We dropped the prices here, so it's only $25, gets you unlimited entry in and out of the theater, all
That's
festival
not
long.
Bad.
Yeah, totally worth the price.
And we're showing four distinct programs. So there are four separate programs to see. And I think they're all really worth seeing. And then you included in that festival pass, you get a complimentary DVD. And the wristband is like sparkly silver. So you get this bling that
Bonus.
You get to wear all festival long,
Bonus.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that is like, I really want to see people blinged out with their festival wristband and walking around town.
I
want to
buy
like,
a festival pass just for the wristband.
So cool.
Seriously.
I got
Even
my
if
wristband.
You don't like film, yeah, that you make the fashion statement.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, congratulations, Aileen. Thank you again
thank
for heading
you.
This up. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to seeing it play out. Again, that's next weekend in Portland.
Yep, be there.
Should we do some headlines?
Let's do some headlines.
We'll have to roll through these pretty quick because we've got headlines, we've got mail, and there's a lot of both, but we'll make them happen.
All of the people who wrote in our mail segment.
Yeah, yeah.
They got a lot to say.
They do. Well, we have a lot of really interesting, I think, people that listen to it. That's great.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast.
All right.
Right on. Gizmodo via Brandon. Why the smartphone is better as a dumb phone. This is an article about turning your iPhone into just a regular dumb phone. Quotes, when people see my iPhone, they're like, God, man, do you have some kind of crazy phone virus? It's got no web browser, no email, no Twitter, no Instagram, no Facebook. But no, the phone isn't broken. I actually did it on purpose. It was supposed to be a one-week experiment, and now it's been months. I don't want to go back. Really, this is more about me and the glitches in my own brain. I think most people can handle it, but for whatever reason, I don't seem to have self-control for a full-fledged modern smartphone.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing about all of this is that, yeah, basically, smartphone and distractions come down to self-control. And if you can, like, keep yourself from checking your phone every 5 minutes compulsively, you can have a normal interaction like people used to back in the day. If not, you end up looking at a screen a lot. And I'd be lying if I said that doesn't affect the way that people relate to each other. So,
certainly.
Yeah.
One of the things I took away from that article was there's a quote in there. The guy says, I don't want infinity in my pocket.
Right. Right. Well, and I will say that infinity in your pocket is very nice. But that is part of the reason that I don't have a cell contract. The other part is that I just want to spend the money to get data everywhere. But I also enjoy kind of being disconnected from time to time. So
Yeah. So I decided to pull out my smartphone
while I'm on the radio. As we're talking
about
it. I
thought that'd be funny.
Well done. Do you have any...
I'm Instagramming this right now.
Well done. See, and this is probably the good use for it. We're busy talking about stuff, and you can do that as you wish. Aileen, do you have any...
I think one of our guests live tweeted us once.
I think so, yeah.
I tweeted last year when I was on the air. Yeah. It was awesome.
We appreciate that.
I love mixing media, you know?
Totally, yeah. Do you have any thoughts one way or the other on this, Aileen? Do you think it's... our smartphones, are they dangerous?
Oh, so dangerous.
Do they bring about the Armageddon?
The quality of our interactions with each other is going downhill. I think our phone calls are definitely quality, but also our inhuman conversations with each other. Mm-hmm. It's sad. You know, are people paying attention? No, they're not. They're not paying attention to each other. We're not having in-depth, meaningful conversations the way we used to. Everything is so surface level because people are distracted, and I'm totally guilty of it. So I'm saying this thinking of myself. And in my head, what's playing through visually is this scene from sitting outside at a brew pub in the sunshine, and we all just kept checking our phones. I'm thinking it's a beautiful day. We're at a brew pub, and we're hanging out. Friends who hadn't seen each other in a while. We're all on our phone. You know, it's just ridiculous. Right. So anyway, hey, let's start a campaign this summer. We don't need to give up our phones, but like go phone light or something.
Keep
you
it
know?
In your pants.
That's what's radical. That's what's radical is keep it in your pants.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm doing it.
It's the new abstinence movement. So what do we have next, Aaron?
Probably far more healthy, too. Southeast Portland. Oh, wait. Via Miles on Bike Portland. A new bike clothing boutique opens up in Portland. Southeast Portland's Hawthorne Boulevard is a destination for fashion lovers. Now it's home to Joe Bike Apparel, a new boutique devoted solely to stylish clothing. Joe Bike Apparel, which opened its doors, past tense, its stores at 3953 Southeast Hawthorne on March 19th, is the latest business foray by bicycling entrepreneur Joe
Doble, I believe.
Doble.
Yeah. And he'll be coming on the show in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I had dinner with him.
Or 4 weeks or whatever.
Just incidentally.
Yeah. Oh, he's a common friend.
We were all at the birthday party together. And right. We just got stuck in a booth.
Our friend. Sure.
Like, hey, how are you? How are you? What do you do? I do this. Yeah. What do you do? I run Joe Bike.
Our friend David Hetty is on his, I believe, the racing team that is sponsored by Joe Bike. So that's how we know him, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Mutual connections.
Yeah, and he was really excited to, like, find out, like, what, you know, I was doing this with you. And
right.
It's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to be on your guys' show.
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
And we can't wait to have him.
Definitely.
Salon.com, Via Miles. Saudi Arabia lifts ban on women bicycling. Thank God.
Yeah.
As reported by the Associated Press, the Al Yom Daily on Monday cited an unnamed official from the powerful religious police as saying women can ride bikes in parks and recreational areas, but they have to be accompanied by a male relative and dressed in the full Islamic head-to-toe abaya. Saudi Arabia follows an ultra-conservative interpretation of Islam and bans women from driving. Women are also banned from riding motorcycles or bicycles in public places. The newspaper didn't say what triggered the lifting of this ban. Saudi Arabia official told Al Yom that the new policy stipulates that women may not use the bikes for transportation, but only for entertainment, and that they must not ride near men to avoid harassment.
That's a very interesting situation because, like, it's like halfway good. It's like a, you know, they're almost there to
baby steps.
Right, and it's a, you know, one yeah exactly. Yeah.
I personally try not to ride near men to avoid harassment. Well, as well, so
and well, so as you should. Yeah, it's interesting to me. Just like I guess. The idea that we're such a westernized culture and we live in America. And so it's really hard to imagine a place where like no one can do like, you know, whatever they want, whenever they want to. But that is still the case in various places in the world. So,
and in the meantime, like it's good to see that bicycling still revolutionary.
Definitely. So to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll change the world.
Yeah. Aileen, any thoughts on the partial ban on bicycling lifted?
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, hey, from here, we are done with our headlines, so we'll close those out.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle.
You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
All right, and we've got a ton of mail. So, Aaron, it's your responsibility to edit these messages into whatever you think is most relevant.
Oh, hell. Okay, I'll do what I can on the fly here.
Yeah.
Tim in D.C. says, hey, Brock and Aaron, spent a few years tackling the problem of A, have a bike, plus B, want to transport said bike to and from other place for a tour. Here's what I've come up with. I imagine this was spurred on by my request for how do I fly with my bicycle?
Yes, it was.
If you're flying, the best airlines are Frontier, free if under 50 pounds, AirTran, $50 each way, Virgin America, $50 each way up to 50 pounds, or Alaska, complicated but generally about $50 each way. I will be flying for with Alaska,
there
unfortunately.
You go. But now
yeah.
You know.
But now I know. Great. Yeah, any of these airlines are good options for your destination. Check them out first. Otherwise, you're looking at sometimes 100 to 125 each way for your bike. Yeah, I even looked into like shipping my bike, and
it's
a
lot.
Yeah, it was way too much. Amtrak is a good secondary option. Yeah, getting an Amtrak on the way with all the Amtrak caveats, like how hard it is to get to Hawaii by rail. Yes, West Coast roll-on service is great. East Coast service largely requires you to box up the bike, and there are limitations as to which cities will allow you to check luggage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I even looked into he goes into talking about renting a bike, and I looked into that, and sadly, at least on Hilo side, maybe I could check on Kona side of the Big Island. Selection is really few and far between, and. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly an average-sized person.
Sure.
So, yeah, the chances of getting a bike that I will fit and a bike that I'll be able to, like, put a rack on or, you know, be able to put a load on and be comfortable enough touring with seems
yeah.
pretty
it's
low.
Not that you can't rent a bike with a cargo rack on it, but at the same time, it doesn't come with every rental bike. So
right, yeah.
Good to know what you're getting into, I guess.
P.S. This one's important. I might be launching a new bike touring lifestyle-ish website before I come out there in July. Oh, he's coming out. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We finally reward him with his Indiegogo ride with the hosts.
Yeah.
We'd ride with you for free, of course. But
yeah, we would have done it anyways. Keep you posted if it's of interest. It is very much of interest. I can't wait to hear.
Indeed.
And see what comes of this. Phoebe from Boston made a donation to Walk Boston in honor of Brock's recent walk to work.
Thanks very much, Phoebe. We appreciate
that. Oh,
yeah,
I heard about your walk to work.
Yeah,
that's
12 and a half miles. And we released
posted that. Yeah,
episode 124B is 40 minutes of me rambling incessantly as I walk to work, so.
I haven't got all the way through it yet.
That's okay. I don't expect you
to. I'm going to listen to it while I walk somewhere.
There
sounds
you go.
Good, yeah.
How meta is that?
Yeah. We were
spend an awful lot of time talking about like getting to the plaid pantry or whatever.
Right. Well, it was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I get it though. Yeah.
Well, you got to buy a lighter if you're out of lighters, and so basically the thing that Dr. Jeff had encouraged people to do was to make a donation to your favorite charity in honor of my walk to work.
So
Phoebe has done that. We appreciate that, and
yeah,
it's not too late. If you want to give money to a good organization, please do it anytime. Doesn't even have to be in honor of me. You could just do it like any old time.
I'm skipping over this next segment here. It's my brother writing in.
Oh, right.
He'll probably... No, okay, fine. He'll call me and be like, why didn't you read my mail? listening to Brock and Aaron for the first time in over a year. Don't know if I'm laughing at the right moments, but this is great material. Great job, gentlemen. Brock, when will you come to Missoula again? Your stop with your bride was the top five highlights of our summer last year. Please come and use our home as a stop again. Aaron, you can come too, but I'll charge you. Wouldn't expect any less.
Right. Well, as I recall, they weren't entirely sure what we would be like before we arrived. So
right,
I'm glad
right.
that it worked out to be a good experience for them.
That was so great.
We're not a bunch of crazy
hippies. I've always deemed you as my sort of bike friend representatives.
I'm a bike normalizer.
My family. Yes.
That's what I do.
Yes. Dan from Minnesota chuckled at Brock's reference to stealing land from the First Nations.
Not like it's a funny thing, but...
No. He's studying federal Indian law for his future career.
Right,
that's
right.
Cool.
Yeah. So
that's
cool. I'm very curious. I feel like if he and I ever get in the same room, I want to hear like everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick from Davis, California wrote, cool episode, 12 miles does not seem far away, but if your only choice is to walk... would take a major portion of your day to get from point A... to point B.
I said it's walk to work day, not walk from work day. So
that's right.
I didn't walk home.
Steve in Wyoming, one of our favorite writers. On gluten intolerance. 3 years, I thought I was getting more sensitive to my occasional chocolate chip cookie or homemade bread. It is just that it takes that long to heal up enough that you can feel the individual hurts from the forbidden fruit. At 3 years, I had a reaction to French fries. Thought they must have been breaded. No, turns out you get the reaction when breaded foods are cooked in the same oil. So my occasional French fry is gone too. Gluten sensitivity is a big deal. 10 years ago, I had open heart surgery. My cardiologist suspected gluten might be my problem. Cutting out gluten got rid of several lifelong problems. Most noticeable was instant cessation of migraine headaches. That plagued me since I was 7.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah.
And that was in response to Dan Christensen talking about making the switch away from gluten. Aileen, have you ever gone gluten-free, or are you...
No, I don't need to be.
You're full of wheat.
And I'm so thankful that I don't have an issue with
right.
it, because it would really, like, I know the people who deal with it, they deal with it well and whatnot, mm-hmm. but, like, I just am so glad I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, it does make it a lot easier.
I think a lot of people get on the bandwagon. It's not necessarily what they need to be doing, mm-hmm. So there's that. But I know that some people honestly have the issue. I'm just glad I don't.
Totally. Yeah,
it makes it a lot easier.
Anything.
I have a mm-hmm. stomach of steel.
You are
awesome.
an industrial processor of food.
Yeah.
It's all that
also,
old crow.
Hey, well, there's that. I do drink bourbon. I think that fortifies me a little bit. I think there's also an issue with people assuming things are making them unhealthy and sick. They're assuming they're sick when they're not. You know, it's all how you frame it. When I think I'm getting sick, I don't think, oh, I'm getting sick, I need to like be sick. I think, oh, I'm getting sick, I need to, you know, beef up my system and fight that off. And mm-hmm. I think we have this defeatist attitude in our society these days where we just assume things are wrong all the time mm-hmm. instead of assuming things are right and that we're going to fight through things. I just feel like our society has gotten to be really weeny that way.
Interesting.
It's really pathetic. Like when shit goes down, the apocalypse comes, so many people are just going to give up.
You know,
because they're just so defeatist and they always think they've got something wrong with them. Yeah. And I need this because this is wrong. And
those will be
wrong.
The real zombies. Yeah. Just standing around going, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
For those who actually have a substantiated medical problem with gluten, stock up now.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't, do it. Just get through it.
Well, and I think we can develop those kinds of intolerances through overindulgence.
Oh, yeah. I would say that's probably where I am.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. But every problem I've ever had with food in my stomach has been from overindulgence. So that's I can say that easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is... Oh, there was one more bit from Steve. He was talking about studded tires, I think.
Yes.
Do you have that?
They don't last as long as he'd like them to. Regarding difficult turns while using them, we may be able to attribute that to rutted snow or ice. Oh, so not so much of the tires.
Right. Like maybe it's just hard to turn out of a rut.
Right.
Yeah.
Dig.
Be like getting yourself stuck on a streetcar track.
Yeah. Yeah, which everybody around here knows how much fun that is.
Seriously, yeah. It's funny. My tires are just wide enough that doesn't happen.
Really?
It's never happened to me. Not saying
you're kidding. You're like the one then. Everybody I know,
I guess,
who's biked in Portland has that story.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there are different times. I know that's what happened to Fred Armisen, and that's why even though now he lives in Portland, he does not ride a bicycle.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aww.
Poor sap. Mm-hmm.
Someone just needs to, like, you know, take him under their wing and give him
Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah, come over. We'll
totally
help you out.
We'll let you ride on the Springwater Corridor. You don't even have to fight with traffic.
That would make a great interview, biking with Fred. Podcast, biking with Fred
there
on the Springwater Trail.
You know,
chatting.
That's a great idea. We'll have to contact him. Our people will get in touch mm-hmm. with his people. Our people, I mean me and his people, whoever they are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Well, hey, this is the very end of the show. Aileen, is there anything else on your mind before we close it out?
Well, it was great being on the show. I always appreciate a chance to talk about Film by Bike. It takes us a whole year to get the festival together, so it's always fun to come in here and start building that excitement. Don't miss it. You can watch videos all you like online, but that is just not the same as coming to the festival and hanging out with 3,000 of your closest friends.
It's like there's a difference between watching a comedy in a theater and watching a comedy at home alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want to do it in the theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to do it in the theater.
And now we will at Film by Bike 11. All right. This is the very end. Do you have the credits, Aaron? Are we ready to go?
I do have the credits. All right, we are ready to go. Let's get out of here.
Seriously.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call and leave us a message or SMS at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
As Alien has done.
Yes.
Live tweet us. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com.
Is it okay if I share? Alien gets the gold star for being here at 10 a.m. this morning.
Oh, that's right. Great. Yes. You're a trooper.
Yeah.
You're playing it through your speaker. Yes, I can hear it.
Well, it's like everyone has access to this technology that no one knows how to use.
The thing that always gets me is when people are talking, there's this thing people do. They talk into their phone on speaker and they just hold it to their ear.
Yes.
Like, what? You're holding it to your ear anyway, so why is it on speaker?
Right.
I see that a lot in my neighborhood.
It's pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. People are weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
On the subject of speakerphone, that does not count as a hands-free device either. So if you're driving in your car and you're on speakerphone, yes.
Because you're holding it in your hand.
Because you're still holding it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Holy shit. I'm a little rusty, sorry. It's been just long enough.
How long's it been?
I feel like it's only been... Well, no, because we did a show last week.
We did a show last week.
It's been a whole week. It's been rough.